Everyone, welcome to the Monday, December 23rd edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It's Christmas week. I'm really excited for it. Tomorrow will be Christmas Eve, Wednesday, Christmas, Thursday, Boxing Day. I'm going to be kind of taking it easy this week. We'll still be doing some writing for sure, doing the podcast, of course. Just not as much volume of writing as I have been doing normally the last couple of weeks and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like it's vacation for all of us, right, guys? So I'm still going to be doing the podcast, though. So if you guys want to hear some MMA talk, I'll still be doing it, including on Christmas. I'll do a short little podcast then, nothing crazy, obviously. But I am looking forward to this week. Even though it's a vacation for most people, including myself, kind of, I'm still going to be doing the podcast because I love doing it. So let's talk about this weekend's fights. Lots of fights went on. Two Bellator cards, and of course, the UFC card. I'm going to start with the UFC because I would assume that that's the one most people cared about. The card started at 2 a.m. Eastern, and the main card started at 5 a.m. Eastern. So I'm not going to lie, I did not wake up to watch this one live. I watched it on replay. Didn't have any spoilers, so I had no idea what happened. Pretty good card, for sure, to end the year, especially the main card. A lot of knockouts there. Some of the preliminary fights were kind of dragged on a little bit, but definitely some good fights in this card. I'm going to start at the top, as usual, and work my way down. Main event of the evening, the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung-jung, defeats Frankie Edgar in knockout in the first round. Just an incredible performance by Chan Sung-jung. I did expect this to happen. I just didn't like this matchup for Frankie at this point in his career. He's really getting up there in age. Korean Zombie has looked at top form as of late. And with Frankie, the amount of damage he's taken in his career, I just thought that against Korean Zombie, it'd be a bad night for him, and it turned out to be a really bad night. Getting knocked out for the second time in his career, first time against Brian Pega, that was like a clean knockout. This was more of a TKO, but still, he took a ton of damage in this fight. Now, quickly, I want to talk about the stoppage. I feel like Mark Goddard gave Frankie a lot of chances to get out of that. Like, he didn't give that to Colby Covington last week. So, Mark Goddard, maybe he's heard the criticisms. Maybe he wanted to be a little bit, more lenient to guys and give them more of a fighting chance, or maybe he just really thought that Colby needed to be that fight needed to be stopped right away. But it there definitely was more of an opportunity for Frankie to escape and get away from that barrage of punches by Chan Sung-jung. But yeah, this was a dominant showing by Chan Sung-jung. If this fight went to the scorecards this first round, it would have been 10-7 round, in my opinion. Like, this was a beatdown. So either way, huge win for Chan Sung-jung, obviously the biggest win of his career. And this guy's really turned one hell of a fighter. In the UFC, he's 6-2 now, with all six wins by stoppage, two submissions, and four knockouts. Every fight he's had, except for the Jose Aldo fight where he got hurt, have won him a bonus. And he actually won a double bonus for the Dustin Poirier fight. So overall, in the UFC, he has 8 bonuses in 8 fights, which is absolutely incredible. The guy's a bonus machine. He's an incredible fighter. Always liked the Korean Zombie. Ever since I saw him back in WEC, when he fought Leonard Garcia in 2010, that was a wild fight. He's really changed his game since then. He's much more technical now, picks his shots a lot better. This guy is just a phenom. I love watching him fight. Now, the question is, does he get a title shot? I think there's a good argument that he should get one, to be honest with you, after this performance. You know, he's not getting any younger. He's 32. Guys like Zabit are a lot younger, and they're in their 20s. But Chan Sung-jung, he's been grinding for a long time. He's one of the most exciting fighters in the sport. The UFC loves him. They always give him these main events now. It's his fourth straight fight as a main event. In fact, in his UFC career, he's main event in 6 of his 8 fights. So this is a guy that the UFC really likes. They believe he's a draw, and he is. And people want to watch him fight. So I was extremely impressed by his performance here. In my opinion, it was probably the best performance of his career. It was an incredible, incredible showing by him. And for me, I said Zabit should probably get that title shot against Volkanovski, but I wouldn't mind if Jung got it. Now, the problem is, obviously, Volkanovski's hurt right now. He broke his hand in the fight with Holloway, so he's going to be out for a little while. Maybe you do Zabit versus Chan Sung-jung as the number one contender fight. You could also obviously do Yair Rodriguez. It was just over a year ago where Yair knocked him out with that elbow in the last round of their masterpiece of their classic. So Yair is another guy we can't forget about. I just feel like that fight's been over a year now, and I feel like Chan Sung-jung might have a little bit more momentum right now at the moment. So, you know, the top of this division is just so amazing right now. You also have Max Holloway in there as well, so you could throw Max in the mix. I do feel like Volkanovski is going to be probably for like at least, 5-6 months until his next fight. If I had to guess, he'll probably be fighting, next spring, summer, with the broken hand healing up from that. Sorry, it's not like a major injury, but it does take a few months to heal up and for him to get back and train. And obviously, he's had a long year too with the fights against Aldo and Holloway, so he deserves a bit of a break. So, the top four guys in that division, besides Volkanovski, Holloway, Zabit, Yair and Chesa Jung, they could do like a mini tournament and figure out the next number one contender. But honestly, if they gave the title shot to Jung, I'm cool with it. If you guys want to throw a comment in there, go ahead. But yeah, I wouldn't mind it. And for Frankie, I mean, this was obviously a bad idea. He should have never taken this fight. Terrible idea by him. Should have went to Bantamweight, fought Sanhagen. I mean, that probably wasn't going to be a good night either, but I think it would have been a better night than this one. So for Frankie, I do hope he goes out in the Bantamweight. I just don't think he should be fighting next month. It's Corey Sanhagen. Doesn't make any sense. Next up, we had Volkan Oezdemir defeat Alexander Rakic by split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. Really close fight. This one really could have went either way. I think a lot of people had for Rakic. I looked at MMA decisions. A lot of them had it for Rakic, but Oezdemir definitely, you know, put on a good showing here. He's been in some close fights in his career. Gets his hand raised in this one. Would have been obviously better for the division if Rakic had got the win here, because you could have easily thrown him into like a top contender spot. But it's not the end of the world. It's only a split decision. If he got knocked out, it would have been a lot worse. This was a close fight. He didn't get his hand raised. Oezdemir did. Oezdemir is an underrated guy. A lot of us underrated, including myself. You know, most of his it's weird, right? Like most of his wins, I picked against him, and most of his losses, like not all of them, but some of them, I picked him. So he's just a kind of a tough fighter to pick. But yeah, he's looked pretty good lately with the wins over Rakic and Latifi, and this win should keep him pretty much dead set in that top 10 position at light heavyweight. And I would assume he gets a pretty big fight his next time. I'm not sure he's going to fight. But there's definitely a lot of guys in this division, like Glover Sherwood makes sense or someone like that. But yeah, Oezdemir is a good fighter, and he's being used as a gatekeeper lately, but I think he's a little bit above that. It's just that he's had a title shot already and didn't do very well. But with John Jones as champ, he could potentially get another title shot, because when he did fight for the title, it was against Daniel Cormier, and that was actually 2 years ago. So he actually got his title shot really early in his UFC run. I feel like he's a better fighter now, so who knows what would happen if he got another chance. Next up, Charles Jourdain knocks out Dewey Choi in the second round with punches. Great fight. Great win for Charles Jourdain. Obviously the biggest win in his career. Loved how he said he wants that 50K bonus so he can move out of his parents' basement. He ended up getting it. You don't usually see a guy that calls out for the bonus get it. Also, I should have mentioned Jung got a bonus too. But yeah, Jourdain and Dewey Choi got the fight of the night bonus. And another fight of the night for Dewey Choi. He's had 6 fights in the UFC. And 5 bonuses, so he's like the Korean Zombie, just a bonus machine. It's actually his last 3 fights in 1 fight tonight, so he's just a beast. But this is another guy who's taking a lot of damage. He's only 28, but he is taking a ton of damage his last few fights. Not the same guy that Cub Swanson fight took a lot out of him. Probably took many years off his career. So really loved you, Choi, but yeah, this was not a good showing by him. Getting knocked out again. And then Jourdain, it's a big win for him for sure. And yeah, this guy is definitely a talented prospect. I'm curious to see what the UFC does next for him. They were calling him a contender on the show. Now, you know, I'm not saying he isn't really necessarily a contender, but I just feel like being Dewey Choi right now is not the same as it was a couple years ago. It's still a good win, but it's not the great win it was a few years ago. Next up, Dan Jung defeats Mike Rodriguez by knockout. I really liked him as an underdog. Beats Mike Rodriguez in the first round by knockout. Landed a really nice straight punch and finished him. So good win by Jung. Jung Park defeats Marc-Andre Barrio. He was another underdog I liked. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Marc-Andre Barrio, 0-3 in the UFC. He might get another fight just because his fights have been close, but they haven't been particularly exciting, so he probably does end up getting released. And the last main card fight was Kyung Ho Kang defeating Ping Wan Liu by split decision, which makes no sense to me. 28-29, 29-28, 30-27. Weird. I had a clear win for Kyung Ho Kang, who's a very underrated fighter in the UFC bantamweight division. Overall, his record in the UFC now is 6-2-1 in contest. Very, very good fighter. And Ping Wan Liu got lucky that one of the judges gave him the scorecard, because there's no way he won this fight. Getting to the prelims, Ciryl Gane picks up another win here. This time by decision, though, over Tanner Boser, 30-26 across the board. First decision win of his MMA career, but the guy's still an amazing prospect. He went 4-0 this year in MMA, including 3-0 in the UFC. Time for a top 10 opponent, at least a top 15 opponent in his next fight, no doubt about it. He is really good. Boser, he's a guy that is pretty tough, durable, but there was no reason the UFC needed to book this fight at this point in these guys' careers. Like, it was weird. When you're looking for prospects in division like heavyweight, why match them up this soon? Very strange. Next up, Sungwoo Choi defeats Seung Mokhtarian by decision, 29-26, 29-26, 29-25. Really weird scorecards there, but there was a couple 10-8 rounds and I think a point deduction as well. Crazy fight. Crazy fight. This actually was one of the better fights of the night, in my opinion. Seung Mokhtarian took a ton of damage in this fight, though. He's lucky he was able to get to the distance because, man, he could have been knocked out a few times. But a really nice win for Choi. on home turf. Really fun fight to watch. Go back and watch that one if you guys missed it. Next up, Omar Morales defeats Dong Yong Ma by unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-26, 29-28. And for Ma, I would assume this is it for him. The UFC is 3-5 now, and he's been knocked out four times in his last three fights or losses. So this is it for him in the UFC. I don't see him sticking around. Next up, Alexander Pantoja defeats Matt Schnell by first round knockout. You talk about flyweight contenders. This guy's got to be up there. He is a really fun fighter to watch and a very dangerous guy. So moves to 6-2 in the UFC right now. He did lose to Davison Figueiredo in his last fight at UFC 240, one of the better fights of the year. But in a shallow division like flyweight, he remains one of the top guys. And for Schnell, not the loss he wanted after a nice win streak, but it is what it is. Next up, Hayoni Barcelos defeats Saeed Nurmagomedov by decision, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. I really like Barcelos in the spot. A lot of people just were kind of sleeping on him. This guy's a really good fighter. He's on an 8-fight win streak now. 4-0 in the UFC. I know Saeed's a solid fighter too, but Hayoni Barcelos is really good. So don't sleep on this guy. And he should be getting a top 15 opponent next time out. If not a top 10 guy, it's time for it. He deserves it. Alana Lemos defeats Miranda Granger in a women's strawweight bout via technical submission Miranda could show in the first round. Really good performance by Lemos. Wasn't expecting this one. Granger looked great in her debut in the UFC back in the summer. And then Lemos looked really good after a two-year layoff. So impressive performance after a long layoff. And the first fight of the night, Haley Alatang defeats Ryan Benoit. Split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. A very close fight. And could have went either way again. But Alatang gets the win. So overall, a decent card. Last card of the year. We actually have a little break for the UFC for once. It's almost a month between fights. But there are a couple other events taking place in between. The PFL finals on New Year's. And also the Bellator Rising New Year's Eve card as well. So there's a couple cards that are coming up. I should mention myself and Cole Sheldon will be doing a year-end recap kind of like best of show this week. And we'll be doing that probably tomorrow, I believe. So I'll let you guys know, but I'm thinking tomorrow. I'll post it on my Twitter though. But yeah, most likely tomorrow, maybe Thursday, but probably tomorrow. Let's talk about Bellator because there were two Bellator cards. So I'll start with Bellator Salute the Troops. I mean, geez, like this was so it was another messed up night for Bellator. Like an hour before the fight was supposed to happen, Josh Barnett was announced to be removed from the card. He got really sick. He talked about it. He did like a little video interview thing. He got really sick, couldn't even like stand up or something. So I felt bad for Josh. Obviously, he wanted to fight. It's been a while since he's fought, since 2016. He's supposed to fight Hani Marks. So unfortunately, both those guys, they're both ready to go, but the fight got canceled. So Marks wants Bellator to rebook it for January in Los Angeles. Scott Coker says that card's full. But I think there's a chance it could be on that card. We'll see what happens. But yeah, really disappointing. I hope Josh feels better. I want to see that fight. Honestly, it was probably the only fight on the card I was really like excited for. So it kind of sucks that happened. I love watching Josh Barnett fight, but it is what it is. So he didn't end up fighting Ronnie Marks. I would like for them to rebook it. And I got to give Bellator credit. They did pay Ronnie Marks his show money. And I'm assuming they paid Barnett as well, which is a good thing for them to do. But definitely not Marks' fault that Barnett got sick, and really not Barnett's fault either. So the fight, the card ended up going on as planned, but only with seven fights. And this was their Salute the Troops fight. And that's the one thing I got to say. Josh Barnett was like, I feel really bad about this because he wanted to put on a show for the troops and it didn't happen. So the fights did end up going on, but obviously without the big names. So four fights on the main card with odds. Toby Misek defeats Eric Perez by knockout in the first round. Big upset here. I was not expecting this, but yeah, good for Toby Misek getting that win. But yeah, I really thought Eric Perez was going to get another win here. The guys look really good lately. Five-fight win streak, but Misek gets the job done. Alejandro Lara defeats Fede Ortega. Now decision, and she's definitely one of the top contenders. Tyrell Claxton defeats Brandon Nakio by unanimous decision. He's still a good prospect. And Joey Davis, top prospect at welterweight, defeats Chris Cisneros via TKO in the first round. So there were a couple like nice finishes, but once the Barnett fight got canceled, I don't think people were watching this card. I didn't watch it. I watched actually, I just watched the highlights on Twitter afterwards. I didn't end up watching the card. Didn't really care about it, to be honest with you. And then the other card that everyone was caring about was the card DAZN the next night. Bellator 236, and main event, Aleemelei McFarlane defeats Tate Jackson, unanimous decision, 50-45, 50-44, 50-44, another dominant showing by the champ. Tate Jackson was tough, So you got to give her credit. She made the full five. I wasn't expecting that, but Lima Lay is just really good. She shouldn't have been fighting Kate Jackson, though. There was other fighters in this card and the night before that she could have fought instead. Also on the card, AJ McKee defeats Derek Campos in the third round by armbar, triangle armbar. It was another great win for AJ McKee. 16-0 now, guys. This guy is an incredible fighter. And you know what? This was a tough fight for him. Derek Campos made it hard. It wasn't an easy fight. Derek Campos wrestled him. I took him down a few times. Got on top position, but AJ McKee pulled off an amazing submission. So this guy is super dangerous, and he has to be the favorite besides Pitbull to win the tournament. And you guys know I've been picking him since the beginning, so I really like AJ McKee. The guy's a really good fighter. Jason Jackson beats Keiichi Kunimoto by unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Good win for Jason Jackson, bouncing back from the Ed Ruth fight. Juliana Velasquez defeats Bruna Ellen by unanimous decision. She's got to be the top contender right now, but I'll talk about that in a second. Rafael Stotts defeats Chaden Lealoa by unanimous decision. Not the performance I don't think Bellator expected. I think they wanted him to get a finisher. And finally, Zach Zane defeats Nate Nenona Dung by unanimous decision. So a lot of fights went to decision. The prelims, there was actually five finishes and six fights. So a lot of finishes there on the prelims, but main card kind of dragged out a little bit. I should mention the last thing I want to talk about here. Bellator, President Scott Coker said they are considering doing a tournament, a flyweight tournament. So that's interesting. I thought they would have given the title shot just to Velasquez. She hasn't fought McFarlane yet, and she's looked good. She's undefeated. But they're considering a tournament, probably an eight-fighter tournament, I'm guessing. Velasquez, you'd also have Lara McFarlane. Liz Carmouche just officially was announced to be signed by Bellator. So that's interesting. I'm not against it. I just feel like there's other divisions of Bellator that I'd rather see a tournament in, like Bantamweight, for instance. But if they want to do a women's tournament, then Flyweight would be their division because it probably is their best women's division. And Scott Coker also said he's not interested in bringing a women's Bantamweight division to Bellator right now. I think they do some one-off fights, but they don't have an actual division. So that's pretty much it for as far as Bellator goes and the fights this weekend goes. There were some other events that I posted a video on bjpenn.com. There's a guy that broke his arm posting up a takedown in Combate Americas. There was a one-night tournament in Combate Americas. Humberto Bandone, who used to fight in the UFC, I think actually earlier this year he fought in the UFC. He won a one-night tournament with eight guys, so he won three fights in one night. Really impressive. And yeah, so overall, some pretty good fights, guys, and I hope you had a good weekend. UFC 246, the tickets are sold out for that card, which is insane. Really surprised by that. Kevin Lee says that the UFC is offering him Islam Makhachev. Makhachev's denying that, but says he does want the fight. And Quentin Jackson opened as a big betting underdog against Fedor, which I thought was crazy when I saw that. Can't believe that. I think there's good value on Quentin Rampage Jackson there. So overall, a pretty good weekend of fights. And this weekend's Christmas, so really nothing this weekend. But next week, there are, PFL and Bellator. So that's it, guys, for today's show. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartinPodcast, MMAOddsBreaker.com, and check out BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. Should mention, I did a podcast at TSN last week with Aaron and the guys. Awesome podcast. Go and check that out. It's like a two-hour podcast. We did all our predictions for next year and recap from this year of the best of and stuff. So really cool. And I will be doing another with Cole this week. So guys, once again, thanks for tuning into the podcast. I appreciate it. Have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow for probably a double edition of the podcast, but I will definitely be back for the early morning edition. Guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.